Okay, so yeah, I'm going to just give a short talk talking about some of my personal experience of being involved in the Dharma kind of young, and I've concentrated mainly on raising some of the issues that I think are involved in that and trying to generate a few ideas for the future. So that's kind of where I've kind of pitched it, and I didn't know who I was writing this talk for when I wrote it, so you're just going to get what I've written. So my name's Lindsay, I'm 28 and I live at Taralekha Retreat Centre and I have done for almost 2 years. My first contact with the FWBO was when I was 21 at the Norwich Buddhist Centre, and I've been pretty consistently involved ever since then. And my contact has been with the Birmingham, Llangollen and Cardiff Sanghas over that time. I'm very fortunate in that my twin sister Rachel, who's here, my brother and her husband are all mitras in the FWBO Sangha. And I saw them down in Brighton a couple of weeks ago and interviewed them all accordingly with this talk in mind. So so some of the ideas in this talk are theirs, not mine, and have come out of discussions with them. So my personal experience of being involved, I guess the most notable experience of being involved in the Dharma during my 20s has been that, which was raised last night when we were reporting in really as well, that I found myself in a sangha where the vast majority of people have been much older than myself. I would say by at least 20 years as an average figure. I currently find myself in a community where the next oldest person is 20 years older than myself. And generally speaking, I get on well with older people. I haven't found it a massive problem. And I guess our shared love of the Dharma and shared meaning of life means that friendships have blossomed and friendships continue to blossom, irrelevant of age, really. But more recently, I have been reflecting on the situation I find myself in, where, with the exception of Rachel, I lack any regular contact with anyone in the Sangha in their 20s. And just wondering, wondering how I feel about that, really. And also just, I think in thinking about the talk and thinking about coming on this weekend, I've been thinking about, well, what the potential benefits of trying to generate networks of young people involved in the Sangha would be, and the benefits for myself. Which I guess brings me on to talking about issues, I think, involved. So I think the main issue really is the lack of young people around in the Sangha. And I think for some people, some young people coming into the Sangha and seeing no one else their own age could well put them straight off. And that kind of concerns me a lot. And I wonder, I've been thinking about different ways that we might tackle that in terms of having, say, named young people in the centres to be kind of points of reference for new young people coming into centres. And that might be one way of coming across it, so that if there are young people coming into our centres, that they've got a point of reference with other young people practising in the centre. So I think that, you know, that's the first issue. The second issue I wanted to talk about was the formality I think we find in our centres. When Sankaracharya set up the Young Men's Buddhist Association in Kalimpong, one of the highlights for the activities for the men was playing ping pong behind the vihara. And I think when young men enter our centres, most often they'll be met with a range of courses, of classes, most of which will involve learning meditation, having discussions and chatting over a cup of tea. A distinct lack of ping pong. Young people may well find that type of communication quite challenging and demanding. You know, having being in discussion groups or having a cup of tea with a complete stranger, probably much older than themselves, can just be quite a challenge. And I also think there's an issue for young people who will either be in or just come out of quite a long period of academic life, you know, and they'll be faced in our centres with more courses, more levels and more stages, you know, becoming a mitra, doing your level one, doing your level two. And I think it can be a bit of a put off for young people, actually. I know when I first came across it, just felt like a lot of red tape and I didn't understand the meaning of it or the point of it. So I think informal activities can be a way of getting to know other young Buddhists and thus about Buddhism in a relaxed and more informal way, and may be more attractive to some young people, not all young people, but some. Often there are informal activities going on in the Sangha, but they aren't advertised to people very much coming newish to the centre. New people are far more likely to be invited to join a level one meditation course than a game of football or the cinema at the weekend. And I propose this is an area we could develop in quite substantially, and it might be a way in which we could create a lot more ways in for young people to get them involved and inspired in the Dharma. So another whole area, I think, for young people is making lifestyle choices. So if I look at my friends who are not involved in the Dharma, their 20s has involved a range of issues. Setting up careers, buying houses, having sexual relationships, getting married, and starting to have families. Some people may argue that young people coming across the Dharma aren't interested in these traditional issues, as they are partly attracted to the Dharma life because it seems to be offering an alternative way of life. However, I think it's also fair to say that there's a substantial proportion of young people who come across the Dharma who are interested in all these issues and who they are relevant for, including myself. They may have questions such as, do I continue to build up a professional career, or do I give that up to go and work in a team-based right livelihood? What might it mean to be a Buddhist and get married and have a family? How might that enrich or restrict my practice? The Buddha lived a homeless life. What might that look like for me, or do I want to have my own home? Sangha Rinpoche clearly taught that the centrality of going for refuge is the central act of the Buddhist life, where commitment to the three jewels is primary and lifestyle is secondary. So, as such, there is no right answer to those questions, but let's not be mistaken that secondary means unimportant. We still need to decide what lifestyle is best for us in order to support our effective going for refuge, and there may well be pros and cons to the lifestyles that we choose. Generally, I find myself discussing these issues with spiritual friends much older than myself who have previously or currently owned their own house, been married, had children, or not done all these things. And by virtue of the fact that they've already lived through those things, done them or not done them, they'll have opinions about them. It's not fresh for them in the way that it's fresh for me. And I do wonder what it would be like to be having those debates, having those discussions with people living those issues for themselves, and just how that would feel, really, to be living those, to asking those questions alongside other people also living their Dharma life. I think it would be great, therefore, if we could set up a network of young people practicing the Dharma in the FWBO, and thereby create a forum whereby these kind of issues can be discussed. In 1976, Sangha Rinpoche gave a series of talks called Buddhism for Today and Tomorrow. And in the fourth one, he described his vision, his dream, his blueprint for the new world, highlighting what were to become two of the six emphases of the FWBO, single-sex communities and team-based right livelihoods, both of which, living at Torrelake, I've gained so much from, and could rave about. But at the same time, I wanted to ask the question whether those emphases of the movement are still relevant, to as relevant in 1976 as they are in 2008, and whether they attract young people coming into the Dharma, or whether they put people off. And I wonder what impressions the FWBO gives young people who are trying to work out what choices to make with their lives, and whether these are helpful, encouraging people who come into the FWBO to feel at home and want to engage in the Dharma and the Sangha, or whether they're just not very encouraging. And so it's just a question. I think another whole area that I think is important when talking about young people is the use of intoxicants. Generally speaking, the use of intoxicants is rife amongst young people. And as a Buddhist trying to adhere to ethical precepts, one would undertake to abstain from the use of intoxicants. Some young people who are interested in the Dharma may want to keep using intoxicants. And this may create a conflict for them within their spiritual life, so to speak. And I've known young people come across the Dharma, become mitras, go through periods of stopping using intoxicants, following that whole life, and then going full circle and going back to, actually, I'm not ready to give that up. I'm not ready to give that up. And therefore think that they can't be Buddhists anymore. They can't, or not know how to find a middle way, or not know how to practice, and to drift away from practice, and drift away from the Sangha. And I guess then there's another whole bunch of people who might choose not to use intoxicants, be that for spiritual reasons or be that for not spiritual reasons. And this may create conflict for them when they're socialising with others who are using intoxicants, particularly with other young people who are not involved in the Dharma. I guess I fell into that category a lot in my early 20s. I wouldn't say it's a big deal for me now, particularly. But I think there definitely was a period in my life where I found it was very alienating being out with friends of mine who were using, or being in groups where people were using intoxicants a lot. And actually, I'd made the decision not to use intoxicants on spiritual and other reasons as well, more physical reasons for myself. I just find that very alienating. And then in the Sangha, lacking a network of friends who were my own age who might have had a similar approach to that whole issue. So I think, you know, for me, this is another reason why I think it's really important that we set up a network of young people practicing the Dharma, so that at least there's a forum to discuss or support people working with those issues, and hopefully create a friendship groups where those issues would be less of an issue. So that leads me to summing up around ideas for the future. So I kind of summarised what I've said into three ideas, really. So the first was kind of a point, or have name young people's facilitators or conveners at our centres. And some places that's going to be much more important than others. If you've got a very young Sangha, it might be less important. But I think if you've got Sanghas where there aren't a lot of young people, it's really important to have someone or a few people that are named and known to the centre teams and known to other people in the centre to be young people that can be contacted by other new young people coming into our centres, so that they have got a point of reference and a point of contact. And I think it's worth considering when setting up teams at centres to encourage younger members of the Sangha, if appropriate, to be on those teams. So then the next idea I had was kind of setting up young people's coolers at our centres. I think it's great that Sangha is made up of people of all ages meditating, studying and practicing together. And I think it's important that these formal Buddhist activities continue with groups of all ages. And I don't suggest setting up separate study or meditation groups necessarily specifically for young people. However, I think a young person's cooler within a centre would create a space for young people to meet and develop friendships, to debate issues important to them, and to signpost new young people towards the things on offer at our centres. It would also be great to encourage a culture of informal activities at our centres, some of which might emerge out of the shared interests of the young person's cooler. So if there were young people at the centre who had particular shared interests, that they could then come together and set up more informal activities. That could be a wide range of things. I also think it's important to set up a UK-wide forum for young people practicing the Dharma in the FWBO. Some centres and groups are going to have too few young people amongst them to set up substantial enough young persons coolers, and I think it would be good to have a more UK-wide forum to encourage and inspire young people practicing the Dharma. This could be regular UK-wide retreats for young people, perhaps an internet site, or perhaps a newsletter, a forum to create a social network for young people in the Dharma, and a forum where young people can discuss their lives and issues in their lives with other young people.